When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends. People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Scott Benjamin. I'm the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
My name is Ben Bolin. I'm a video writer here at the same website.
Good to know.
It's good to know.
Yeah, good to know.
People are thinking, who are these guys?
Ben, we're going to, you know what we're going to do?
What are we going to do, man?
Oh, you know what?
What?
Let's not get into it right now. I got a question for you.
All right.
This is an odd thing. Well, this is totally blindsiding you, so just you can react to this however you want or say nothing, whatever you choose.
Okay.
Got home the other night. My wife says to me, it's kind of like, you know when Will and Grace, there's that character Karen? She's always very critical of...
With the really high-pitched voice?
Yeah. And she's very critical of someone else's dress.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way I dress, I mean, I'm sure it's a little bit of snickering around the office, but not that I know of, right?
Have you seen the rest of the art?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. So I get home, and my wife says to me, what are you going for here, the shop teacher look? I don't know what that means, and I don't mean to offend any shop teachers in the audience by any means, because I liked my shop teachers, and I liked the way they dressed. It was fine. They were snazzy.
Okay.
So she says things like this to me all the time. Like, I'll get home, and she'll ask me, like, what's this here? Is this Senior's Day at the Zoo?
Senior's Day at the Zoo?
Senior's Day at the Zoo.
Ouch, man.
I know.
What's going on?
It's kind of like, you know, I'm wearing a ball cap today, but if I had, like, this ball cap on and maybe, like, a short sleeve polo shirt, maybe untucked, and some Dockers, and tennis shoes. That's my Senior's Day at the Zoo outfit, apparently.
But those sound like normal clothes to me, man.
I know.
That's weird.
I don't know how to deal with this.
Oh, are you asking me for advice, Scott?
I don't know. I'm just getting it out there.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I can tell you, then, especially since you're not asking for advice, the thing that I started sticking with is I'm going to let you in on my master plan. Mm. I'm trying to get to the point where I can just dress at work. I can just dress in something that appears at first glance to be unnecessarily formal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to wear a suit to work every day. Mm. The thing is, I don't like having a bunch of stuff, Scott. So I'm going to get like 5 suits.
Mm.
I want you to be able to tell what day of the week it is, depending on the suit I have. You know?
Fantastic. You could get a suit like the guy had in Napoleon Dynamite.
That
brown suit.
That's perfect.
Yeah. You ever think of just a vest also?
You know, I don't know. I'll be honest with you.
Kind of dapper.
I think
what are we talking
little,
about here?
We've gone a bit off course. But
yeah, way off.
But no. Have we gone that far off?
Well, I don't know. I just had to get the shop teacher thing out there because I didn't know how to handle that, really.
I think you handled it. I mean, well, how did you handle it? What'd you say?
I was calm.
That's probably pretty good.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, you just got off work.
Well, you notice I always wear a hat, too, and my hair gets a little long.
Listen,
enough of the personal grooming stuff.
Such a good segue.
Oh, I'll let you go then.
Maybe one of our listeners right now, who is perhaps is or is not a shop teacher, is going, no, Scott Benjamin, you can't let yourself bow to other people's expectations of your appearance. You need to figure out what you want to do with your life or what you want to do with your stuff, and then you should just do it. And by God, if they have a problem with it, you should just do it even more. The same as someone who's driving a
Decatora truck.
We did it.
See
dude.
That?
I can't believe
man, you brought it right around.
I can't
you?
Believe we did that.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. We're talking about Decatora trucks today, and we finally got to it. Sorry for the digression there, but I just had to get it off my chest.
Shop teacher.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, all right, so Decatora trucks, and I guess, should we spell it?
Yeah, let's spell it. That's
we'll spell it, because I don't know exactly if I'm catching the pronunciation right.
Right.
It's either Decatora or Decotora, Decatora. Yeah. And the idea is that these are basically art trucks from Japan. You know, we've talked about art cars before. These are art trucks. These aren't necessarily gluing, you know, figurines on the car or
no
fish,
doll heads. Yeah.
Yeah, fish like you just mentioned
right,
to me.
Right.
What was the name of that car?
I believe it's the Sashimi Orchestra or Sashimi Chorus or Choir or something.
Either way, it sounds pretty cool.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as crazy as these trucks.
These trucks are nuts. They're like I said, they're from Japan, and the idea is to just make your truck stand out from everybody else's truck. And we're not talking about just like a pickup truck. We're talking about big industrial trucks, like
big
semis.
Rigs, dump trucks.
Yeah, exactly. The cube vans that you see on the road, right. You know, these big Isuzu trucks. Yeah, dump trucks even.
Mm-hmm.
They are crazy. If you get a chance, take a look online. You know, do a keyword search for the word we just told you, Decatora trucks. And if you haven't seen these already, chances are you probably have because they're everywhere.
They look like casinos. They
you know
look like the outside of casinos.
Yeah, you know, you're right. They remind me of like the Vegas Strip.
Yeah,
they
Vegas
really do.
Strip. A series of casinos.
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly what they look like. They're outlandish. I mean, if you haven't seen them. I'll try my best to describe them, but
okay.
You chime in with anything you like here. But
right.
They have immense kind of like under – I don't know if you
– Undercarriage?
Well, like, the spoilers out the front, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
And also visor covers that go over the front of the vehicle, and it looks like big handles almost. There's a lot of chrome, a lot of neon, a lot of just – flashy paint and decoration on the side of them. There's not a single part of this truck that isn't decorated in some way. A lot of it is just fabrication. It almost looks like, to me, it looks like there's steps leading up to the front of the truck with it looks like a dance floor almost. It's big. It's like a big lip on the front of the truck that sticks way out in front. I mean like 6 feet, 7 feet out in front of the truck. I really am having a trouble, you know, like a difficult time understanding how they even drive these trucks. It seems like you would have a hard time seeing curbs or getting over speed bumps, you know, doing any of that type
especially
of thing.
Especially in a city.
Yeah, because these are commercial trucks. They truly are working commercial trucks.
Which makes them a little bit different from art cars, because a lot of times art cars are expressly the statement of an artist. And these things actually do routine labor, which is bizarre to me because – Scott and I have some pictures spread across the table here, and you can't see how these people get into these trucks. It's kind of difficult to figure out where the windshield is if you're not looking at a picture where it's dark.
It's that difficult, he's right. And I swear, Ben, it just looks like they just add until they have no room anymore. And then I don't even know if they begin again or not, but it's whatever, you know, the truck owner's vision is for these trucks. And they all look relatively similar. There's a few that are slightly different, but they all have a similar appearance.
There's an aesthetic they're going for.
Exactly. And just to give you an idea of how long it takes these to be built, one person who was interviewed on I found a couple of interviews on YouTube.
Nice.
G4 did an interview, and also there's another one called Japanese Fancy Trucks. That's the name of the video. So if you want to watch that one, that's interesting. But one of the owners said that it's a 20-year project for him. And
wow.
He spent 20 years working on this daily driver truck that he has. And he uses this truck, like I said, a daily driver, to go pick up vegetables and you know, from Tokyo and deliver them to his hometown. So this guy's driving in intense, you know, I guess really tightly packed traffic, I would guess, in Tokyo. And he's actually using it to haul something. You wouldn't believe it by looking at these trucks that they're really functional. They look more like a showpiece.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time picturing them moving as you said, over bumps in the road, mm-hmm. really, because they're the modifications there, especially on the sidewalls and stuff, really look like make it look very low to the ground.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
not. It's just got yeah, that
it's,
stuff there.
It's not necessarily. It may be a foot off the ground or something like that, but yeah. it's really difficult to tell. They're just such enormous vehicles. The other thing is that there was another owner that his project was a 10-year project, and it cost him $135,000 to do the modifications on his truck.
Wow.
Now, I think that's adjusted for U.S. dollars. I'm not sure because of the translation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I believe it's $135,000.
It would have to be.
It's an incredible amount of money to spend modifying a truck like this. Now, we've all seen pickups or semis, rather, going down the road that have – you know, a band of light here or there.
Sure.
You know, yeah. Or even, you know, really decorated where they have lights outlining the entire cab or...
airbrush in the back or something.
Yeah, yeah. Teeth on the front grill or something like that. You know, maybe a cross, whatever. These are far, far more decorated than that. I mean, look at the nighttime pictures that we've got here.
Way beyond.
These nighttime pictures, you have to, you literally have to see them to believe them. Every inch of this thing is covered with light. It looks like a disco.
If somebody, and I'm saying this in all seriousness, I'm not trying to be funny or glib or whatever, if somebody had epilepsy mm-hmm. at night, these cars seem like they could be a danger.
Well, they are a danger, and the thing is that they are street legal. I should say that first. They're street legal.
Yeah, yes.
However, they're only street legal with the lights out. If the lights are on, they're not street legal because they become kind of a hazard on the road.
Just by distraction alone.
Exactly. Yeah. Too many people are turning to look at these things. They're just too eye grabbing.
Yeah. They're too shiny.
So if you go to one of these shows, I guess the overall thing that I want to mention here is that definitely wait until nighttime. Don't leave the show early before sunset because you want to stick around for the light show afterwards. It's definitely worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I'm trying to think of anything else we got to add here because I do have one thing about one poor driver that I read, and this is it. Actually, I didn't read about it. I saw it in this video, and I felt kind of bad about this guy. He's saying that the reason that he did his truck was just to make it different and make it someplace enjoyable for him because he gets so lonely in his truck.
Oh God!
I know. He gets lonely in his truck. This poor guy. I mean, when you watch the video, it sounds. I can explain it here, but you got to see this poor guy to understand. He says he gets lonely in the truck because, you know, truckers are out on the road at night and far away from home, et cetera.
Taking long drives.
So he says, and I'll kind of just paraphrase him here, but this is so pitiful, Ben.
All right.
I try not to cry.
Okay, I'm going to suck it up.
He says that he's so lonely in his truck that that when you're driving and you're alone, no one knows when you cry. So he often cries at night in his truck, or he cries when he has his sunglasses on in his truck because no one can see him.
Oh, my God.
That's how lonely this guy is. So he's done this as a way to kind of cope with that, you know, a way to make his truck something that's enjoyable to him and enjoyable to others. And it's more of a, I guess, kind of a social thing at this point. I'm kind of extrapolating that.
I hope it works out for him.
I hope so, but I was so sad to hear this guy.
That's really sad.
Yeah, I mean, he gets in his truck and he heads out for the night and he's crying. Yeah. Poor
That's
guy.
Really sad.
Yeah, but he's the one. Now he has his truck was pretty interesting. He had chandeliers inside his truck. He had two chandeliers. This gives you an idea of the level of light and decoration on these trucks. Two glass chandeliers inside the cab of a semi truck or you know a delivery truck of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he had some big parlor table set up in the back as well, and
nice.
Ultra cushy seats, and you know the airbrushed interior, and everything was really really nice about it. But I don't know. I hope it works for him.
You know, to be fair, before we wrap it up, mm-hmm. you know, like the two people at our job who cry the most, John Strickland and Chris Paulette from Tech Stuff, they were telling me that
those poor guys.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. They were telling me, though, the pickup trucks are the best places to cry, so maybe this has something to do.
Or the MARTA train.
I'm completely kidding. I'm
no,
sorry.
No,
it's
no,
going to
no.
get back to us that
yeah,
way.
Well, you're bringing this on yourself.
Okay, I'm going to say it here. Scott, you're not responsible for that joke.
Fantastic.
And I'm sure as soon as John is done crying, he's going to come find me.
I will still catch the fallout from it, I'm sure.
Oh, come on. we're all friends here.
Yeah, of course.
We're
of
all
course.
Friends here.
Of course.
Do you want to do some listener mail?
You know what? I would love to do some listener mail. All right, so here we have a letter from Matt, and Matt is just outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is on Route 66, and we talked about Route 66. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. And he participated for the first time ever in something that he called Bike MS Event for Multiple Sclerosis.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, that's good. Good cause. And he just wanted to know if we could give a shout-out to this event, and then maybe someone may want to participate next year. But this is something, an example of something that that happens still on Route 66. It still has a little bit of purpose to it, you know, that people still use it for something good. He says that the Route 66 between Tulsa and Oklahoma City is it's actually an over 2-day race. It takes longer than 2 days to finish this race. It's approximately 2 days exactly, I guess. I should say 2 days. It's 140 miles between the two cities, and he said there were about 800 cyclists, and they raised about $500,000 for MS. So I just wanted to get some awareness out there that this event happens. And again, that's in between Tulsa, Oklahoma City. Yeah. So anybody out in that region that wants to participate, or anybody else, take a look at it. I mean, that's a good cause. So
yeah, that's a great cause.
Well worthwhile. But I thought that was interesting. He tied it into one of our topics. So pretty exciting. I still haven't made it out anywhere on Route 66.
One day, my friend. One day, we're going to make it out.
You know, I'm headed out west soon.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to take a long, long trip out there. Just kind of a Denver to New Mexico to Vegas to the Grand Canyon, that type of thing.
You're going to see the canyon?
2,000 miles or something, but it's more like a circular path that we're taking, not necessarily down one route.
All right, Scott, I'm officially a little bit envious because I only got to go to the Grand Canyon once, and I would always kill for the chance. So I'm not going to crash your road trip, man.
I've never been there.
You've never been?
No, this is going to be exciting.
It's going to blow your mind, dude.
Seen it from a plane. I've never been there.
Totally different when you see it on the ground.
Toes over the edge?
There is a place where you can walk out on this kind of glass ledge. Mm. And I think if you plan in advance, they'll let you ride a burro down.
Oh, great.
If that's your thing.
No, that's not my thing.
Yeah, okay. I'm still tripping out over the shop teacher.
Yeah, I know. You can kind of see it now that I mention it, right?
I plead the fifth, man. We're, to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. We're going to head out. I'm going to go back to work. Scott is apparently going to go see the Grand Canyon.
Not right now.
Well, okay.
Soon enough.
Right. You're right.
Soon
enough. I'm kind of jumping the gun here.
I'd love to go right now.
Me too, man. Our listeners probably would too. But in the meantime, if somebody wants to get in touch with us, Scott, what should they do?
They should contact us at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.